Good morning to each one this morning. Enjoyed worship together so far. Trust that the Lord can continue to speak to us as we worship together. The subject I've chosen to speak on this morning is Christian modesty in an immodest society. The subject has, perhaps at times over the years, become a bit of a negative subject. And this morning I don't intend it to be that. I want it to be a subject that will draw our thoughts to how can we best portray Christ in our lives. I think I was brought to this subject over the past while as we consider the right time and approach to putting together a brotherhood agreement. And I've heard the subject come up a number of times in various conversations among us. How are we going to handle the subject of modesty? I don't think it's any secret that it will probably be part of the discussion. I think from what I've gathered, there's plenty of interest and perhaps a little bit of trepidation about how and to what extent, how we're going to handle it and to what extent we're going to take it. And I hear the trepidation part mostly coming from the women. And I don't think that that's without reason. There has been many times conservative Christian churches have focused modesty in on how do women dress. That was about the extent of the conversation. And it's part of the conversation. But I don't think it should be the first part of the conversation. I think that we have to start way before that if we want to come out right on the subject of modesty. I believe that modesty is one of the key areas that a biblical church will need to continually address. And I found it interesting speaking with a person that went to a church that was very congregational in how they related to everything. They didn't have any written standard, I don't believe. But he said he was bemoaning the fact that they've lost a lot over the last number of years. And he said, we used to focus on the three M's, modesty, music, and movies. And you can think about that one for a little bit. I think it does, while it was probably a catchy phrase, it does hold some water. We're going to talk about modesty this morning. Music is what are we listening to? Movies is what are we watching or what are we letting affect our lives? And to me, it points to principles rather than specifics of our Christian life. Brother James' message last Sunday spoke to the effect that culture has on us, and I think it was a great lead into this subject. The fact is, the culture that we live in will affect our view of what is acceptable, and modesty is no exception to that. It's not necessarily wrong that culture affects how we view things, but we do have to compare it, as James pointed out last Sunday, to what does the Bible say. I don't know how practical to get on that, but it's just a question of what do we wear. The fact is that some of the things that we wear in some cultures would not be considered respectable or or be respectable or acceptable. And part of modesty is respecting other people's sensibilities. And so we do have to look at the culture that we live in the society that we live in. When we consider modesty, are we fitting into it in a way that portrays Christ and isn't offending others? The pressures of society have and will continue to test our commitment to living an obedient, Christ-centered life in this area, as well as many others. To set the tone for the message, I would like to turn to Isaiah 43. I want to read verses 6 and 7. And these verses caught my attention Friday night. We were at Grace, and Brother Stan Sensenate read these verses, and it was in a totally different context. But I read those verses again, and I thought, you know, these verses really set the tone for what I want to say. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 say, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God wants to gather us as his sons and daughters from the ends of the earth. Why? Because he has made us for his glory. And this morning I want to show that modesty is about giving glory to our great God who deserves it. First, we will try to define what is modesty. And I'll admit that I found it a bit of a slog working through the definition of modesty part of it. And so I've tried to condense it to not be too boring, but I do want to try to define what I'm talking about. The dictionary has a definition of modesty as the quality of not being too proud or confident about yourself or your abilities. And second definition was propriety of dress, speech, or conduct. And the second definition there very much captures what I want to speak about. I want to point out that being modest is not just about dress. It's also about how we conduct ourselves in our speech and conduct. The word modest appears once in the King James Version of the Bible in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. And modesty is not used at all in the King James Version. In the New King James Version, it appears once in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 23. Other subjects that directly relate to modesty in the Bible would be meekness and humility. To help to define several aspects of modesty, I would like to turn to 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. And before you women here roll your eyes and say, I thought we weren't going to be focusing on the women, just give me a couple of minutes. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So there's three words that I want to pick out here. They are modest, shamefacedness, and sobriety. These three words are directly translated from three Greek words, and I will do my best to pronounce them. Modest was translated from the word kosmios, which I think if I was translating it into how we use our English today, I would probably use the word respectable or orderly. Shamefacedness was translated from the Greek word eidos, which would probably be in our usage today more accurately translated as modest. And sobriety was translated from the word, no, this is the hardest one for me to say, sophrosune, which would mean self-controlled or soundness of mind. And that sobriety is probably a good translation for us when we think of sober as in the terms of not being intoxicated or under the effects of some mind-altering substance. These words are also used in several other places. The first one that was translated modest is used in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, in the instruction on qualifications for a bishop. Shamefacedness was also used in Hebrews 12, verse 28, speaking about our attitude toward God, and it's translated reverence. And sobriety, the one translated sobriety, is also used later in this chapter in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. Most of those references I will be turning to or referencing later, so we won't look at them right now. These three terms are very closely related in their meanings and overlap in a lot of ways. They are in the context of giving women some valuable insight about what and what not to wear, but they have a far broader application than that. I think that the same principles apply to all of us in all areas of our life. It's not just about how we dress, but how we conduct ourselves and how we relate to others. Our life should be respectable and modest, demonstrating self-control, because that's the common standard for all Christian conduct. Everything a believer does should flow out of a beautiful and honest demeanor. This standard applies to all of us, including us men. We are to bring attention to God, not to ourselves. So let's look a little bit about what the Bible says about modesty. Just a few verses. We're in 1 Timothy 2 right now. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. And this is where Paul is speaking to Timothy about the qualifications of a bishop. I think I'll read verses 1 and 2. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So there we have a couple of the same words that were used when it was talking about modesty to these women that Paul was talking to in the earlier chapter that found themselves out of their place. He also is using those same words in the qualifications for a bishop. I guess I would ask us, when was the last time we had a message on modesty for the bishops? I don't particularly recall one specifically pointed toward them. Maybe they do at the ministers' meetings, I don't know. But the point I'm making is that modesty, or the attributes of being respectable and self-controlled, apply equally to all of us. Respectable behavior and self-control are traits that should be displayed by all those that love Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26. We have here the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26. Doesn't specifically mention modesty, but I think that as we take them together, why, we definitely get the thought. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. As we look at these verses, in verse 24, it says that we've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And I believe that immodesty is that. Is those affections and lusts of the flesh. It's about us. It's about drawing attention to ourselves. And if we want to live Christian modesty, we will no longer seek to draw that attention to us, but rather to portray Christ to those that look at us. In Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, Jesus gave an example of how we ought to think and speak about ourselves. Let's turn to that. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. We have here the parable of the two men who prayed. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We have here two men that if you went and looked at them through the lens of the society and the religious norms of those days, they would have said, okay, the one, he looks just right. He's doing all the right things. He's got things together. The publican, on the other hand, publicans had a reputation of being dishonest, of they were in the employ of the enemy, which at that time was the Roman government. They were despised by their peers in society because they were collecting taxes for the enemy. And a lot of them enriched themselves with dishonest means in collecting the taxes. And I would understand they probably displayed it. Good chance a publican was wearing expensive jewelry and dressed in expensive clothes and such like. Letting my imagination wander there a little bit, but I would understand that was sort of the kind of person that was a publican. But we have here two very different attitudes. The one who looked just right had an immodest attitude. I find it interesting that Jesus says that he prayed here with himself. I take that to mean that his prayers weren't getting past the ceiling. God wasn't even hearing these prayers, or not as prayers anyhow. He was basically there praying to God about how good he was. The publican was the one with the modest attitude. He recognized himself for what he was. And he was asking God for mercy on him, a sinner. And that to me is the attitude that we have to have this morning. That we have to recognize what we really are before God. And that without God we are nothing. And look to him for meaning in our life. The Bible also speaks about our possessions. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 to 11 and 17 to 19, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." I think modesty in our possessions is also what the Bible calls us as Christians to be. If we have a love for money, we are going to be tempted to display it to those around us, whether we have it or not. But as we keep the proper attitude toward the possessions that God gives us, we can relate to them in a modest way. The Bible also speaks to modesty in our appearance in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, and in 1 Peter 3, verse 3. And interestingly, it addressed to women in both those instances. I don't have an answer for exactly why that was. There is not a lot of direct reference to how men should dress in the Bible. The most direct one that I could find, other than directions to the priests and such like, is in Deuteronomy 22, where cross-dressing is forbidden. But modesty in our appearance is part of being modest. So how do we practically express modesty? In our opening verse in Isaiah 43, we read that we are created for the glory of God. When I am faced with a decision about how I'm going to present myself, my possessions, my abilities, I have a choice to make. Am I going to present it in a way that draws attention to myself, or am I going to present in a way that will draw attention to God? Three practical questions we can ask ourselves when we're in doubt is it respectable? Is it decent? And is it moderate? I'm going to attempt to present some practical application on this subject. These are my own thoughts and opinions, so if they're out of place, you can feel free to disagree with them. I'm not attempting to lay out specific guidelines for you this morning. First of all, I want to look at our speech and actions. Modesty in speech, I think, is an important part of how we present ourselves to those around us. A person that's loud and domineering probably isn't going... When you meet a person like that, probably the first thing you're not going to think about is what a great Christian person he is. It's something that we have to be aware of. How do people see us when they meet us? How do we come across? A modest person will control how we speak, what we speak, and how much we speak. Do we talk so much that others can't get a word in edgewise? I have a little story about that. I had it's an old schoolmate, and I won't use his name because some of you probably know him. Let's say he had a talent for talking, and I didn't have anything much to do with him for quite a number of years. And we had an occasion where we were getting together with a number of other friends, and he was invited as well. And he hadn't changed much from school days, so we'll put it that way. He came in, sat down on the couch, he turned the volume up, and continuous play on the other knob, and it was like that the whole evening. And let's just say I didn't have a lot of desire to get back together with him again soon. There's something that turns others off when we have to do all the talking all the time. It's just something for us to be aware of. How much are we dominating a conversation? Do our speech and our conduct reflect negatively on our profession as a Christian? And you know, that's not only in our verbal conversation, I don't think. What about our social media? One thing about social media is that it makes it very easy for us to portray ourselves how we would like to be seen by others. We can kind of edit out all those warts and wrinkles and other things that we would like other people not to see, and portray ourselves and our lives as being nearly perfect. Just something for us to be aware of, that we are not helping to make others be dissatisfied with their lives by portraying an inaccurate view of our own on our social media. Do we talk about ourselves and our things constantly? A modest person is good at fading into the background and letting others have the attention. There's some people that are really good at this. I know I've had a conversation with people already, and you know, I laughed after that conversation. I thought, you know, he learned a lot about me with the questions he asked and things he was interested in, but I don't really know just a whole lot more about him than I did before. And that's a challenge to me when that happens. It's like, am I as interested in his life as he was in mine? Or am I inward focused on myself? What about our possessions? Do we purchase for needs and value? Purchasing for value doesn't mean we always buy the cheapest thing. But it does mean that we consider carefully on what we are purchasing. We live in a world of cheap imitations that make it so even the poor can buy volumes of things they don't need to try to impress others. We had looked at 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10 there. I think it's maybe in verse 11, that it speaks about jewelry, the women wearing jewelry. In those days, jewelry was expensive. So does that mean that now, if we can buy cheap jewelry, that it would be okay to wear it? I guess the question I have to ask myself is, if I'm buying something that would be classed as jewelry, whether it's cheap plastic jewelry or whatever it is, imitation diamonds, whatever, am I doing it to draw attention to God, or am I doing it to draw attention to myself? How much do we consider how impressed others will be by our possessions in our purchases that we make, or the things that we acquire? I don't remember where I read this, but it stuck with me. It was a saying. It says, people are funny. They borrow money they don't have to purchase things they don't need and hardly use, to park in the driveway to impress neighbors they don't like. Isn't that so much how we can be? And I'm speaking to myself as well. It's like, consider carefully our possessions. Are they practical, respectable, do they serve a legitimate purpose, or are we drawing attention to ourselves? Lastly, I want to consider modesty in our appearance. This is probably one of the most talked about parts of modesty and has often tended to be focused on, or has often tended to focus on the women. many times in conservative Christian circles, there's been a strong focus on women being modest so that the men are not tempted to think or act wrong. And that's not just Mennonites. It happens in, I think, basically all conservative Christian circles that attempt to make some application of modesty. In some cases, it has been taken to extremes where women are required to dress in ways that are unfeminine and unattractive. And I don't think that is what modesty is about either. Women have a natural love of beauty and being beautiful, and that's not wrong. To require women to dress in a way that militates against their love of beauty dressed in a way that is unattractive, I don't think is the right approach. And it is usually done all in the name of keeping the men pure. And that part, I think, is just wrong. That is not what modesty is about. It's not about women dressing in a way to keep men pure. And we'll get to that a little bit more later. First, I want to speak to the men here. So, I think that the leadership by husbands and fathers in our homes is key in this area. We, as husbands and fathers, are the key to modesty in the church and in our families. All right. Actually, let's turn that around. In our families, and then in the church. I think all of us men here are married, and most of us are the fathers of daughters. These women and girls are not our possessions in the same way that that other possessions are, that I have talked about, but in the headship order, we have a responsibility for them. How they appear will reflect on us whether we like it or not. If the women that we are responsible for are not dressed respectably, decently, and moderately, it is probably because we, as men, are not convinced of the need for modesty ourselves. Is that too strong? I think it was Brother James that once said in a message that our young women will try to dress to what pleases our young men. That leaves us fathers with a big responsibility. We not only are responsible for how our daughters dress, how they present themselves, how modest they are, we are responsible for how our young men are and what their appetites are that young women will try to please. I cringe when I see a lovely, modestly dressed Christian lady walking with a man in a tank top and shorts in public. And I've seen that a number of times over the last few years. A lady that is obviously attempting to dress in a modest Christian way, walking with a young man in a tank top and shorts in public. To my mind, there's something very wrong with that picture. And I'll take it a step further and say that I think it's probably the wrong picture too. When a young man, when a young lady has to hop out of a pickup truck with lift kit, big wide tires, loud exhaust, and all that, when her young man brings her to church. I think I'll go as far as to say that. If that young man stepped away from that young lady, what would there be to identify him as trying to present himself in a way that draws attention to Christ? And you know, it's not only in the dressing down immodesty that we can go wrong. We as men can also present the wrong image by overdressing in expensive clothes, things. We could we could go on the subject of facial hair, drawing attention to ourselves. I don't have a strong opinion on facial hair. I'm good with anybody, however they want to do it, as long as it looks respectable. I personally, and this is my personal opinion, so you can take it for what it's worth, have a problem with these untrimmed beards these days that some feel they have to wear. Is that the image that we want to present? Is the question I'm asking. And they'll have to decide that for themselves. I personally wouldn't be able to go that route. We have a responsibility to present ourselves as men respectably, decently, and moderately. I also have something to say to the women. I mentioned that many times modesty for the women has been presented in the context of keeping the men pure. There's even been a false responsibility placed on women if men failed. That's tragic when that happens. We'll leave that there for now. I'm going to tell you, especially to you young women, that you can never dress modest enough to give an immoral man pure thoughts. I'm going to repeat that. You can never dress modest enough to give an immoral man pure thoughts. Don't let anyone ever place the guilt for a man's immoral thoughts or actions on your shoulders. You are responsible only for your own actions. So why is such an importance placed on modesty? I think the most important reason for modesty in dress is respect. And again, I'll address this primarily to the young women. Modesty in dress is about respect for you. A well and modestly dressed woman asks for the respect from others and also gives you respect for yourself. It will open the door to others seeing not only your outward beauty, but also your inward beauty and intelligence. May I read that sentence again? A well and modestly dressed woman asks for respect from others and gives you respect for yourself. It will open the door to others seeing not only your outward beauty, but also your inward beauty and intelligence. You do have the power to dress in a way that can cause unnecessary temptation and that will cost you respect. It's a fact that men are visually stimulated and women tend to dress to please. You have the power to use that in the wrong way. But if you use your beauty in the right way, you will draw attention not to yourself, but to God and what he has done in your life. The Me Too movement made a lot of valid points and held men responsible for their actions in ways that were long overdue. I did find it rather unbalanced, though, in that it often seemed to give women a free pass on actions and behavior that I would feel undermined the respect that others would have had for them if they had conducted themselves in a modest way. It's not an excuse for what men did. It does not excuse the men in any way. But we do have a responsibility to ask for respect. We won't always get it, but how we conduct ourselves will ask for respect, and you're more likely to get it. I'm not going to go into details on this, but I will try to illustrate what I mean with a short story. And I don't know how many of you remember those days when Gwen Jacobs, I believe she was a University of Guelph student, was demonstrating and protesting. She was protesting that it wasn't fair, that men can appear in public topless and women can't. And she had a point. I think she was going the wrong way with it. I know she was going the wrong way with it. But it wasn't fair. But in one of our farm papers, and I don't remember who the person was that wrote the article. They usually have one of the farm have a farm lady that writes everyday farm experiences, and they're good writers. They write it up in an interesting way. But anyhow, they were discussing these goings on at home, and if I remember it right, why they had a family that had a number of girls in the family. So they were discussing this around the table one evening. And one of them asked their dad, well, what do you think about it? About it all. And he must have been a man of few words because he gave a pretty brief and blunt assessment. And this is what he said, and I remember this quote ever since. And we can apply this not to us men as well as to women, but probably, leave it there. So this is what he said. He said, in subject of modesty of dress, he said, if it ain't for sale, don't advertise. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise. And you can mull that one over for yourself. But that to me is what I want to leave with the women, especially this morning, on the subject of dress. That's as far as I'm going to go on it. To sum up in closing, modesty is about being decent, moderate, and respectable. It's about not being a stumbling block to others. But most importantly, it is about turning attention away from ourselves and toward God and His work in our lives. And as we, as a group, perhaps look at this subject in relation to a brotherhood agreement, may God bless us as we find our way together and as we keep our eyes focused on Him. Let's have a number in song. Thank you.